Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, January 14th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF has dismissed as nonsensical reports that President Mugabe is sick.
We've only heard of this every time the president takes some holiday. Those who are studying Roma must be very much ashamed of themselves.
Zimbabwe is set to resume heart surgeries after receiving equipment worth $300,000.
Performing the surgery in Zimbabwe has its advantages, among them accessibility by the ordinary person in the street.
And local government minister Xavier Kasukwere says Mutare councillors are corrupt.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
ZANU-PF has dismissed as nonsensical reports that President Mugabe is sick. Ruling party spokesman Simon Kayamoyo says it is unfortunate that some people are making such remarks about the president who is on holiday in the Far East. His remarks come at a time when presidential spokesman George Charamba dismissed the reports as a grim lie and being peddled by some bogus publication. Charamba told the state-controlled Herald newspaper that, quote, "You cannot doubt that there will be a story on the president's alleged death every January." Online publication ZimEye has over the years released such reports annually, which have been rebutted by the government as wayward. Moyo tells Studio 7's Gives Dube, Mr. Mugabe is alive and well in the Far East.
Well, the presidential spokesman, Comrade Charamba, I think answered very well. Adequately, this is not a new story. We've always heard of this every time the president takes some holiday. So I think the answer given by the presidential spokesman was fully adequate. And I believe those who were spreading Roma must be very much ashamed of themselves.
So now, why do you think people end up spreading this kind of Roma, Mr. S.K. Moyo?
I can't think for other people. I don't know what they think. All I can say is that effects are given today in response by the presidential spokesman.
And basically, when we look at the president's holiday, people are even asking, where is he exactly? Which country? What can you say?
Why should they be interested in which country?
Maybe they want to find out where their president is.
Well, they can find out from the presidential spokesman, as I've said.
And lastly, Mr. S.K. Moyo, some people are saying, you know, the president could have saved a little bit of money here and there. We can have his holiday in Matopos, Victoria Falls, you know, so that Zimbabweans can get food. Or what can you say about such a kind of remarks?
Well, that's not for me to talk about. Why don't they ask the president himself if they want? What's wrong with spending a holiday anywhere in the world?
That was Simon Kayamoyo, ZANU-PF spokesman, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. Political analyst Shadrach Guto of the University of South Africa says it is not surprising that Zimbabweans are talking about the president's health.
It is because President Robert Mugabe is of very advanced age. And from that point of view, naturally, he starts really suffering from ill health. So that is not disputed. The question of why he always goes to Asia for holiday, not just the media cooking up things, but the question is, what is the explanation why he always goes to Asia and doesn't go in Africa? Secondly, is he of good health? So those are two questions which are very important for not just Zimbabweans, but for Africa and the world.
When you talk about his health, you know, there's been this rumor that has been dismissed by government that the president had some complications in terms of his health. But when you read some of the messages that are being posted by people on social media, some of them are very unpleasant. You know, they are actually wishing the president to be dead or something like that. Do you think this is African?
however you don't like them, you hate them, and so on. It is dangerous, and I think an African to wish somebody to die. But the question is Mugabe nearing natural death? That is true, he is. And that is basically on the fact that we are all going to die one day or another. We don't live forever. And he's reached a stage where, you know, very few people pass that age and continue to live. But not only continue to live, because you can live in a vegetative manner. Do you live there with really a mind to lead a nation? And that is the issue that faces Zimbabweans and the world.
That was Shadrack Gutwe, a political analyst with the University of South Africa, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe will next month resume open-heart surgeries after Parire Nyathwa Group of Hospitals received medical equipment worth more than $300,000 from the Dublin-headquartered company Medtronic Conduct Operations. More from our reporter Ivan Jifera.
Open-heart surgeries, which commenced locally in 1995, were stopped in 2003 due to the country's economic meltdown and are set to resume next month amid reports that there are more than 400 patients awaiting heart operations. Since 2003, some patients have been going to countries like South Africa and India for heart surgery, while poor people in need of such medical help have died while waiting for operations. Commissioning the equipment, which consists of a heart-lung machine, a heat cooler machine, a CT machine, and an autolog cell saver, Health Deputy Minister Adrian Musiwa said performing surgeries in Zimbabwe would ensure accessibility by those who can't afford to go to other nations to seek medical attention.
Performing the surgery in Zimbabwe has its advantages, among them accessibility by the ordinary person in the street who initially were unable to afford to go to India or South Africa. The much needed foreign currency will also be spared in the process.
Cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. David Chimuka, who will be in charge of the heart surgeries, commended Medtronic for giving Zimbabwe the equipment, adding that government must ensure that accessories would be availed timeously so that people can get the necessary medical attention.
This heart team must be given the privilege of saying what we want, we must be provided. There is no way you can wait for a heart when you've got a disease and something to sort out and say, I'm going to wait for 10 or 6 weeks. The heart will be gone. It will be dead and the person will be dead.
Dr. Chimuka said surgeries that would be conducted in conjunction with experts from South Korea will commence soon with a batch of 10 children followed by a group of 30 adults. He said a lot of patients with heart valve problems need urgent help to save their lives.
At the present moment, we know that well that a lot of our patients have got problems with heart valves, and so they need new valves in their hearts or the valves being repaired. We know there's an average of about 200 to 300 adult patients who need heart surgery. And in terms of children, a lot of children, like in any other part of the world, 10% of the children who are born have got a congenital heart disease. The same thing here in Zimbabwe. We have about 100 to 150 children who need heart surgery.
It costs on average $4,000 and $6,000 for an operation for a child and adult, respectively. Dr. Chimuka said this was far much less compared to India and South Africa, where patients also incurred traveling costs. He said the problem of heart disease was serious in Zimbabwe, and they intend to conduct operations during weekends in order to clear patients on the waiting list. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Local government minister Sevia Kasukwere today sternly warned the Mutare City Council in Manicaland province against continued acts of corruption on allocating stands, extravagant lifestyles of top council management, and the awarding of advance loans to senior managers while workers have not been paid for almost 2 years. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has more details.
The minister came short of sacking the entire council management, but said he's giving them a second chance. On the other hand, Manicaland Provincial Affairs Minister Mandishimene urged him to fire all senior managers. Kasikwere made these remarks when he presented findings of investigations on problems faced by the local authority, which were conducted by his ministry. In the report, senior council managers are accused of even going on holiday while ratepayers are not accessing basic services at a time 1,500 workers have not been paid for the past 20 months. The minister lambasted the council management for lack of innovativeness, saying it was also failing to recover at least $30 million owed by residents in terms of service charges. He said it is puzzling how employees are going to work without being paid their monthly salaries.
I also see evidence of serious extravagance. You have been paying all the allowances. You have been paying cash in lieu of leave and expensive private schools and foreign universities.
Chimene, while delivering closing remarks at the meeting, also attended by local councillors and some stakeholders, urged Kasukwere to sack the entire management, claiming that they were corrupt. She said there was need to change the council managers, some of whom she mentioned by name.
I beg my colleague elected members to do your work. Fire them. It's more official to be corrupt than to be normal.
Mutare-based journalist Andrew Mabondiani said the findings are a non-event since most council officials nationwide are said to be corrupt. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
More than two dozen women today held a demonstration against the granting of bail to suspected rapists. The women, including Bulawayo Metropolitan Legislator Jasmine Cox-Tofa, were briefly detained but later released without any charges. One of the women was the mother of a 14-year-old girl who was allegedly raped by a man who was today granted bail of $100. We reached Tofa, a member of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ngube, who says the demonstration was a non-partisan protest that is attempting to highlight the light sentences that suspected rapists are getting away with.
Our aim is to show that the courts are being lenient to the rapists and are not protecting the girl child. We as members of the public, and even as members of parliament, are fighting against the rape to minors, with sex with minors, and we're fighting against the marriage of girl children.
How many were you?
We were 25 of us, but of those that were arrested and taken to Westcom, we were 10 of us. Of those people that were demonstrating, it was people from all walks of life, from the community, from different political parties, people that are aggrieved with what is happening, with how the girl child is being abused, the fact that, as I said before, that the girl child is not being protected. The child's life is being destroyed.
So what next after this?
We're going to watch out for the court case and make sure that we are there to support the victims of rape. And like what we did today, we actually went back, we looked for the victim. This child was actually not given a pregnancy test because at Mpilo Hospital, they did not have a pregnancy test kit.
That was Jasmine Cox-Tofa of the MDC, led by Walshman Ngube, who's the legislator for the Bulawayo Metropolitan Constituency.
We are conducting a poll on our website on your expectations for 2016. Register your vote on www.voazimbabwe.com. Don't be left out. Cast your vote now at www.voazimbabwe.com.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
President Robert Mugabe's holiday in the Far East irks the opposition.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Islamic State has claimed responsibility for today's coordinated bomb and gun attack in the Indonesian capital that left 7 people dead, including all 5 attackers. The Islamic State-linked Amak news agency says the attack in an upscale neighborhood in central Jakarta targeted foreign nationals and security forces charged with protecting them.
And the western U.S. state of California and the southeastern states of Tennessee and Florida all have winners who will split the record-breaking Powerball lottery with a jackpot of $1.6 billion.
Some Zimbabweans are raising questions on President Robert Mugabe's holiday in the Far East, saying he is spending money which could have been channeled towards catering for the needs of his people currently facing serious economic problems. A large number of Zimbabweans are currently exchanging harsh words on various social media platforms about President Mugabe holidaying in the Far East while the country is gripped by a crippling drought. The opposition is equally infuriated, though ZANU-PF supporters argue that there is no basis for being angry for a president who is on a personal vacation. For perspective, Studio 7 reached Obet Gutu, spokesperson of the MDCT, and ZANU-PF activist Gadzira Chirumanzu. Gutu says the president's vacation is bleeding the country's overstretched fiscals.
As MDC led by Morgan Richard Tsvangirai, we are actually very disappointed on behalf of the millions of Zimbabweans that follow and support our party. That President Robert Mugabe has seen it fit to be outside the country for close to 4 weeks now. You remember that he left Zimbabwe on December the 22nd, 2015. Today is January the 14th, 2016. The country does not even know where exactly the President of the Republic is staying. This is unprecedented. It is just speculated that he's in the Far East. Maybe he's not in the Far East for all we know. Why the secrecy about where his whereabouts? This is one of the reasons why we, as MDC, were very concerned to say we have a leader who has abdicated his responsibility as the President of the Republic.
Mr. Chirumanzi, your take on Mr. Gutu's points?
Well, what Mr. Gutu is saying, it's, a repeated, gospel. We have heard this several times. But at the end of the day, people need to understand that the president has got the right, and as the head of state, has got also some privileges that he can go for a leave or holiday wherever he wants. So really, it's something that is not worth commenting.
And Mr. Gutu, the social media of late was awash with rumors that President Mugabe's health has deteriorated. Though presidential spokesman Mr. George Charamba clarified this by refuting these rumors and dismissing them. What leads to all this?
This is the direct result of the secrecy around the president's whereabouts, Jonga. As I've already indicated, right now we do not exactly know where President Mugabe is. We are just told that he's in the Far East. Where in the world have you seen a president who goes on holiday and his nation does not even know exactly where he is? This is unprecedented. So because of the secrecy around this, this is why people come up with all these kind of strange and sometimes very, very malicious rumors on social media. We as the MDC, we wish him good health. We don't want him to die. We pray to God, please give Robert Mugabe more years so that before he obviously goes to the next world, we want him to see for himself how a country should be run. So we actually want him to have a long life.
Mr. Chirumanzi, the social media being awash with President Mugabe's health speculations.
Well, this is not the first time for social media to come up with these, funny speculations. Unfortunately, it is a pity. And I think this also enhances Honorable Super Mandwanzira to say that we needed to monitor all these things going on cyber to find out who exactly is coming up with all this nonsense. Because at the end of the day, it is not helping the nation. At the end of the day, it is not helping anyone for that matter. And I would like to agree with the Honorable Gutu that he wishes President more years. That alone shows that he is a human being enough to understand that you don't celebrate when one dies. So at the end of the day, there is no need for us to spend, you know, this precious time discussing, you know, falsehoods.
Mr. Gutu, some would argue that the president has a budget allocated for all what he's doing. And you are part of the parliamentarians who set up the laws.
The office of the president is a closely guarded secret. We know that in 2015 alone, President Mugabe traveled no less than 44 times out of Zimbabwe, gobbling an estimated $67 million United States dollars. We are saying President Mugabe, with due respect to him, has shown a complete and utter disregard for the needs of the majority of the people.
Mr. Shirumanz, what's your comment or reaction to this?
No, I have no comment to make on this one, but only to remind, you know, the listeners that there is no way the U.S. government will ever disclose the budget of President Obama, neither the British Prime Minister or any leader for that matter, because there is a lot involved in that office.
That was ZANU-PF activist Gadzira Chirumanzu. You also heard from MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu. Both were speaking with us from Harare.
The Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority says the country has now resorted to using emergency power plants to generate electricity. ZESA spokesman Fulad Gwasira told Studio 7 that the power utility is proposing a 49% tariff hike to offset the balance as the emergency plants use diesel. Gwasira says because of low levels of water at the Kariba Hydropower Station, they have reduced the power generation from 750 megawatts to only 475 megawatts, and they might reduce by a further 200 megawatts. The power utility is now meeting stakeholders to explain its proposal, but farmers, business people, and residents say the hike is way too much. Yesterday, there were consultations in Harare, and tomorrow, ZESA officials will be in Bulawayo. Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, cash-strapped residents cannot afford the hike.
The residents have expressed their disappointment at ZESA. They cited several issues, among them the fact that ZESA is failed to provide the electricity. The majority of the citizens are unemployed, and the current industrial production is very, very low. There is no justification for the proposed increase. And during the meeting to consult by the Zimbabwe Energy Regulatory Authority, residents were very clear that they objected to the introduction of an increase in electricity cost.
But Mr. Shumba, ZESA is arguing that it owes China about 2 billion that is to be expunged. Therefore, it is necessary to increase tariffs in order to pay that debt and also ensure that residents have an uninterrupted power supply.
When they borrowed from China, they did not have the mandate of the citizens. They did not seek the approval of the citizens. Why should residents be burdened with payment of a debt that they had no part in when it was negotiated?
That was Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Social media experts are advising women to be aware of their own brand when posting messages on social media platforms like Facebook and others, as information published on some of these networks can affect relationships and job prospects. Social media expert Nyaradzu Mavindidze says most people are unaware that they have no control over the information they post on social media and risk it going viral for good or bad. Mavindidze tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye that as the new year starts, women need to rebrand themselves by controlling their brand.
It depends on what your objective is on social media. So for me as a business person, I'm very conscious of my brand on social media. I want to project the right image to the correct audience. So firstly, it depends on who your audience is on social media. So if you're looking for love, you have to build yourself as a brand on social media that is in line with that. If you're looking for business, to grow your business, to enlarge your territory, you also have to brand yourself according to the audience that you're looking for. So you can't brand yourself as someone who's looking for love or social interest and yet you're a business person. So the bottom line for 2016 social media management is to know who your audience is, know what you want to receive from them, and then give them the message that will get you the results that you want to get from the audience and be consistent about it.
When we look at the apps that are being used right now, we look at WhatsApp. What are you seeing on the ground right now when it comes to such platforms like WhatsApp, Facebook, in terms of human relations, be it for married couples or just people that are exchanging information?
I think there's a belief that I disagree with, that social media is breaking down relationships or things just get viral or we've lost our morals. I think the things that we're encountering on social media that are happening these days are things that have always been there. But the thing was that there was no method of communication that would carry the news to the next person. So I think that the vices that are happening right now have always been there, but social media has just enabled instant communication. I also think the problem is that we don't know what they're on social media, because once you type and send something out, it's gone for good.
That was social media expert Nyaradzo Mavindidze of Avada Consultants and Queen Makers Trust speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Harare.
A senior academic and politician says the possible collapse of the ZANU-PF government due to intra-party fighting as well as an unrelenting economic crisis could result in civil war in the country, as this often happens in Africa and across the world when dictatorships fall, but ruling party supporters have dismissed such suggestions as wishful thinking. Our correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
Speaking at a conference to audit the country's devolution process in Bulawayo recently, Dr. Temba Dlodlo, a physics lecturer, said Zimbabwe is in a crisis as a result of the incompetence of a government in which too much power is vested in one person. Dr. Dlodlo, who is also a politician, asserted that Zimbabwe is under a dictatorship and its possible collapse as a result of the infighting within the ruling ZANU-PF party, as well as an insistent economic crisis, could result in prolonged civil war, like what has happened in the aftermath of the collapse of totalitarian regimes in countries like the then Zaire, Somalia, Libya, and others. He said there is need for devolution of power and services in order to ensure that more people are involved in making decisions that directly affect them.
Every time the dictator was in civil war.
Reached for comment on Dlodlo's statement, Mpopo Mapelandaba, House of Assembly member Joseph Chuma, told Studio 7 over the phone that Zimbabweans are uneducated and peace-loving people and would not engage in civil war. Another ZANU-PF member, Freedom Murechu, told Studio 7 that contrary to perception, ZANU-PF is not against devolution.
Instead, it is the one which has been championing devolution since independence. You know, even if you look at the policies that the government has been implementing, from the land reform to now the indigenization, they've even done it even at local level at some point. That's the reason why I've got district land officers in almost every district. The concept of devolution itself has not been explained to the people well.
In a presentation on devolution and natural resource governance, one of the panelists at the conference, Gracious Maviza, said decentralization averts the possibility of conflict over natural resources as it helps locals to also get direct benefit from them. There has been concern by some locals over the mining of diamonds in Manicaland province, Marange area, with many of them charging that they have not profited from the exercise. Citing an example of the war waged by Nigeria's Sogoni ethnic group against transnational oil companies in the Niger Delta, Maviza said, where locals do not enjoy any benefit from natural resources in their vicinity, there's bound to be conflict.
Thank you. That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Remember to stay tuned for Women's Roundtable today.